President Trump not only swept two women into the White House staff, he's also speaking to business leaders about the importance of keeping jobs.
Two women were swept into the ocean by a large wave over the weekend, and a bystander jumped in to try and save them. The Good Samaritan was able to pull one woman from the water just as rescue crews went in after the second. A massive blanket of sea foam stopped the lifeguards from finding the woman's body for about a half an hour. She was pronounced dead at the hospital. The second woman, the Good Samaritan, and two lifeguards had to be hospitalized, but they're all expected to be okay. Jason Campadonia, San Diego.
Could you make the
full title for Star Wars Episode 8 has been released.
If you join Lucasfilm says the film will be called The Last Jedi,
calling it the next chapter of the Skywalker saga. It'll be released in theaters December 15th.
USA Radio News. Emergency vet bills. In addition, members save up to 50% on staples like food, toys, and treats, all at major pet retailers. You'll love the money you'll save, the convenience you'll enjoy, and the peace of mind knowing your beloved pet is fully protected. Call now to take advantage of 2 free months of pet insurance and an instant $100 in savings. Call 877-835-6060. That's 877-835-6060. Or go to PetSavingsUSA.com. Call or click now for your free gift, plus 2 free months of pet insurance. Call 877-835-6060 or visit PetSavingsUSA.com.
I will be talking to Donald Trump about the issues that we share, about how we can build on this special relationship. It's the special relationship that also enables us to say when we do find things unacceptable.
British Prime Minister Theresa May speaking to BBC One about relations with Donald Trump. She says she will be speaking to him about NATO and the importance of NATO to the European continent. New York Senator Chuck Schumer spoke with ABC's This Week about the Women's March in D.C., downplaying comments made by celebrities like Madonna, where she said she wanted to blow up the White House. He said he didn't see any celebrities.
I don't agree with those comments, but the celebrities don't matter in this march. I marched in New York. I saw hundreds of thousands of people. I didn't see a single celebrity. I saw average people, men and women, worried about women's health.
The Supreme Court has denied an appeal by Texas over its voter ID law. Chief Justice John Roberts wrote today there's no point to looking at the case now because the district court has yet to enter a final judgment. More news online at usaradio.com.
Love sports articles but don't have time to search the web looking for the most compelling stories? Then US Sports Pages is for you. Why spend hours going to multiple sites looking to find sports articles when we can do the work for you? Our producers go through every newspaper in the country and pick out the best sports articles separated by sport, dramatically reducing your prep time. We also include sports and entertainment kicker stories. USSportsPages.com is the only site you'll need to get your sports fix. Check us out today, the daily links at USSportsPages.com.
A major beer manufacturer has announced a recall because glass could get inside the bottles. Correspondent Chris Barnes has more.
Sierra Nevada Brewing is recalling bottled beer in about 36 states in the District of Columbia as some 12-ounce bottles have a flaw that could allow glass to break and fall into the bottle. The recall involves pale ale and 7 other varieties bottled from early December through the middle of this month. So far, there have been no customer complaints or reports of injuries, but Sierra Nevada Brewing says in a statement the recall affects 1 in 10,000 bottles, and it's working with its suppliers to determine the root cause of the problem. I'm Chris Barnes.
One woman is dead after a rogue wave swept 2 women into the ocean off the coast of California. Jason Campadonia has the story.
2 women were swept into the ocean by a large wave over the weekend, and a bystander jumped in to try and save them. The Good Samaritan was able to pull one woman from the water just as rescue crews went in after the second. A massive blanket of sea foam stopped the lifeguards from finding the woman's body for about a half an hour. She was pronounced dead at the hospital. The second woman, the Good Samaritan, and 2 lifeguards had to be hospitalized, but they're all expected to be okay. Jason Campadonia, San Diego.
The full title for Star Wars Episode 8 has been released. Lucasfilm says the film will be called The Last Jedi, calling it the next chapter of the Skywalker saga. It will be released in theaters December 15th. USA Radio News.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterton at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterton, the voice for mental health in Hunterton County. The weather this afternoon, if you've looked out your window, you'll probably see is rain. With a high near 42, it's going to be windy with a northeast wind around 25 to 28 miles an hour, with gusts as high sometimes as 47 miles per hour. Chance of precipitation is 90%, and the new precipitation amounts between a quarter and a half of an inch is possible. Tonight, rain, low around 36, windy with a northeast wind 17 to 26 mile an hour, with gusts as high as 43 miles per hour. The chance of precipitation is 100%, and that amount could be between 3/4 and an inch. Tuesday, rain likely, mainly before 10 a.m., so it'll be early in the morning and the commute and all that jazz. Cloudy with a high near 39 and northwest winds 13 to 16 miles an hour, and a chance of precipitation is 60%. Tuesday night, partly cloudy with a low around 29. And Wednesday, it'll be sunny with a high near 48. Northwest winds 5 to 7 miles an hour, becoming light and variable in the afternoon. Wednesday night, a chance of showers after midnight. Welcome to the Hunterton Medical Center's Hour, compliments of the Hunterton County Chamber of Commerce. I'm Larry Cartwright, your host, and we're very privileged to have with us today. I know I'm going to murder your name, but I'll do it anyway. Shante? And it's Ken Getter?
Ken Getter. Mm-hmm.
Ken Getter, okay. You're going to have to hold the mic a little closer.
All right.
Yeah, that's better. And you've got things I hate, all these acronyms behind your name. RDCDE. What does all that stand for?
Okay, well, actually, that's a really good question. RD stands for Registered Dietitian.
Okay.
And that's how we've been known. Wow, I've been in the profession now since 1977, long time. But now there's an N behind it, often. Not on mine, but you will see it. RDN stands for Registered Dietitian Nutritionist.
Ah,
because
okay.
You will find nutritionists in a health food store, but that does not necessarily mean that they are registered dietitians. In fact, they are probably not. A registered dietitian is someone who finishes 4 years of college and then goes on and gets another year through an internship.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And then the CDE stands for Certified Diabetes Educator.
Oh, okay.
Of us are on staff at the medical center where I work.
Okay. And it's, the community nutritionist and Center for Nutrition and Diabetes, right?
Right. Center for Nutrition and Diabetes Management.
Mm-hmm. All right, I ask everybody this question. I ask how they got into this, and I've heard, various stories. One person told me that something happened when they were, 7 or 8 years old, and they always wanted to do this one profession they were in, and they went on and did it, and they love it. Another told me, which would pretty much my story, I have 4 kids, mortgage, car payments.
Yep.
Taxes, and I needed a job, and right. This came along. I've been doing it ever since, and that was pretty much how I got into my line of work that I stayed in, most of my life. But it's just curious. I mean, it doesn't have anything to do with the medical center show or anything, but I'm just curious how people get into the different, how they get so enthused about a certain type of work.
That's a great question, because people go into their jobs for so many different reasons.
Right.
Well,
right.
Actually, for me, I had lived overseas as a child. I moved over when I was 9, and I came back when I was 18. So I lived for 4 years in Switzerland, in Zurich, Switzerland, and then I lived for about 3 years in Den Haag, Holland. That's The Hague, you would say in English. And so I had been, I actually went to the local schools in those countries, and I met a lot of people from many different countries, and I was always interested in different cultures. When we lived in Switzerland, there was a family across the hall that were Egyptian, so we played with them. The children had a German governess, spoke German. They went to school in a French school, and then they played with us Americans, so they spoke three languages. So when I came back to the United States and went to college, I started out in poli-sci because I thought I loved being around other cultures and I wanted to do this. And then I realized it was really more about politics and I was not interested in the political part of it.
Right.
So I went to see my advisor. Now, this tells you my age. This is back in the 70s. And things were very different. So he had been a former ambassador to Japan. And I said, you know, I really like this, but I really would like to do more of the cultural work. And he very grandfatherly leaned over, patted my knee, and said, honey, you should marry an ambassador. I transferred out of the department the next day. And because at that point I was playing around with vegetarianism, and I had become a vegetarian at the point, I thought, I know. I will open up a vegetarian restaurant or maybe a health food store, and that's what I'll do. So probably be a good idea to learn something about nutrition.
And did you ever open up the store?
No. After going through the 4 years, I decided I would definitely not do that because at that point I felt that stores were often a ripoff. Again, in the 70s, that was about the only place you could find yogurt. You definitely couldn't find it in a mainstream grocery store
right,
at that time.
Right.
So things were very different. And after I got out, I decided, no, that's not the direction I want to go. But I'm happy I made the transfer. It's been a wonderful career.
Well, that's awesome. You know, it's very, you know, like I said, it's the reason I like asking that question because everybody is different, you know, and how they got into it is a different thing. And,
yep.
You know, when you were overseas, and I'm just curious, in Switzerland, did you have to learn Swiss?
I did. Yeah. I went to a, well, when I got over there, it was my father was transferred. He was with Dow Chemical at the time. And they put me in an English-speaking school. I was there. And after about 6 months, two things happened. One, my parents were getting really tired of driving halfway around the Zurich See to take us to school. And the second thing was sort of funny. We were on vacation around Christmas time in a little place called Klosters. That's near Davos, where they're having the big meetings now. And we're in the dining room, and my parents, we're all eating, and my parents overheard a British couple behind us talking. And I can no longer do the British accent I did for a while. But so we could hear these two people speaking. And the man says to the wife, look at that family over there, such a nice family. And those children have such nice accents, but their parents speak dreadful American. So my parents says, that's it, final straw. There's a school right behind our house. We'll just send them to the Swiss public school. And we walked to school. And the first day I was in school, I could say yes and no. And that's all. And by the end of the year, I was speaking fluently.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah. So I have a great heart for all the Hispanic and Latino community here who have made the huge distance from wherever they're from, El Salvador or Mexico or wherever. And they're in schools, and their parents cannot speak the language, and they're learning it in school.
Yeah, yeah.
And I put a huge shout-out for all the parents that are listening that can understand English to please, please continue to speak only Spanish to your children in the school, or at home. They will learn sufficient English in school, and you want those children to be bilingual. Gives them a huge step.
Yeah, it's funny because my mother was born in Germany.
Yeah.
And she came over when she was about 17. And her sponsor was her aunt, or a aunt of hers. Mm-hmm. And she got off the boat, she said, and she got down, and her aunt met her. And my mother didn't speak a word of English. I mean, she was born and raised in Germany, and you spoke German. And they got to her aunt's apartment, and her aunt told her, the first thing you're going to do is go to night school and learn English. The second thing you're going to do is never speak German in America. Yeah. You're in America. You speak English. And my mother spoke very good English. I mean, she had, you could tell there was a little bit of an accent there, but you know, she could be understood. She was no problem understanding her. Even when she got mad at me, there was no problem understanding her. But when I was, I don't know, about 14, I said to her, "Mom, why don't you teach me German? I'd like to learn." She got this look on her face I'll never forget, and she says, "You are an American.
Right.
You speak English."
Right.
I says, "Yeah, but I'd like to learn German too." As a son. Oh. She says, "You speak English." She says, "You want to learn German? Go to Germany." You know, I said, "Well, I'm not really going to Germany," but you know, and she wouldn't teach me. So the only thing I really learned from German was the curse word she used to yell at me when she was mad. She would lapse into German and speak curse words, and those I knew. But other than that, I didn't know German. So, you know. But.
It was really different, and I think it's really important, though, for people coming to this country to learn English. That's important for the parents to learn English and speak it, because you are in another country. My parents learned German and Swiss not very well. My sister and I would speak it very quickly in front of them if we didn't want them to understand something. But that's important. But at home, speak your native tongue, because you are doing your children a huge service by having them understand both. And teach them how to read it, too, not just speak it.
And, you know, when you think about it, though, if you went to, say, Pakistan, just...
Right.
They're not going to specifically learn English to talk to you.
No.
So consequently, you better learn language they speak. And, you know, I think it's awesome that, you know, schools now are teaching all these, you know. But they did a little bit back then, too, when I was going. I mean, I'm a little older than you are. But, you know, but not as much as it is now. You know, now it's almost like mandatory to take a second language, you know.
Well, we've been globalized so much, and the world has shrunk with all the different kind of electronic media and people speaking to each other all over the world. Just like you were telling me before we started, people in Australia and Switzerland can hear these programs. And so it is important. And it also, when you try to speak another person's language, it indicates that you are crossing a bridge and you're trying to come to some understanding.
Mm-hmm.
Even when clients, because I see... In my work, since I did live overseas, I love seeing people from other countries.
Sure.
Hispanic, I've seen people that speak Arabic, I've seen people from Egypt, from all over.
Mm-hmm.
And in my office, they all know I love that clientele. I'm not afraid to use interpreters. But what I always try to do before they leave the office is learn how to say thank you for coming in their language. I'll ask them to say it. And then I'll try to say, they'll laugh at me.
Yeah.
But again, I think they appreciate that mm-hmm. you are also making a gesture
making
good
contact. Right.
Yeah.
And basically, what is your exact role in the medical center?
Well, there are actually, we have 6 dietitians and we have 4 nurses. 2 of the nurses are part-time, 2 of the dietitians are part-time. So as part of the nutritional team, we see clients for all different nutritional concerns that they have. I could even ask the question of myself, what is the benefit of seeing a dietitian rather than just going on the internet, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the reasons that you might come is if you you want to lose weight, for example. You can go on a diet, but it might not be, most likely will not be personalized to you. So what dietitians can do is listen to people's health concerns, especially around eating, and we can personalize that and give you information that is accurate, scientific, in the way of handouts, verbal communication, and also websites to go to, apps you can use on your phone, things like that, so that you know when you're leaving that you have some credible information.
All right. A lot of people, me included, over the years have tried diets over and over and over again. And why do we stop? I mean, I know why I did.
Okay,
but
why do you stop?
Because I get frustrated.
And why are you frustrated?
Because it's not working.
And
you know, I'm doing everything they tell me to do, and it's not working. So I get frustrated, and I stop, or have stopped over the years. Why is this? You know, why do you see a lot of people stopping their diets?
I think a lot of it has to do with the expectations going into the diet. So what is your expectation when you go on a diet, that you will stay on it forever?
No.
Is your expectation...
lose X amount of weight and keep it off. You know, most people, I guess, have that, you know, I would think.
Exactly. So what do you do to lose weight? What do you start to... what have you done, for example?
What do I do now?
Yeah, when you try to lose weight.
Well, I try all the time. But, you know, smaller portions, you know, I like meat and I have trouble giving it up, so I use smaller portions. I have cut back way back on potatoes and, you know, other stuff. I never would have ever thought I liked yogurt, but I do.
Yeah. You can learn to like foods you didn't think you would initially,
yep.
Right?
You know, fruit. You know, vegetables, but I only like certain vegetables. Some of them I can't get down under any circumstances. Mm-hmm. But you know, I carrots and spinach and peas and you know that sort of thing. I like a salad. Mm-hmm. You know, I have AFib, atrial fibrillation, and so I'm on warfarin for that. But I also eat salad. So the doctor told me, well, keep eating the salad. You know, don't stop it. You know, keep eating it.
Same.
Because I get broccoli in it. I get, you know, carrots and lettuce and what have you. So, you know, but.
Well, I think a lot of it has to do with the time-saving devices that we have and our lifestyles. A lot of us are very sedentary. And I think that's a big thing, that we used to walk around a lot more. Look at, like right now, you're sitting. How many hours of the day do you think you sit here at the radio station or other places? So I think a lot has to do with decreased movement on a consistent basis.
I do go to the gym, though, at least 3-4 times a week. So.
Okay. Well, that's great. I mean, and again, even if it's, if it's a half hour, an hour, but then think about the whole other, how many other hours and what are you doing? Is it more sedentary activities? It's moving around more? And also, I think often people eat more than they think they're eating. And are they eating really in a mindful way? Are they eating when they're physically hungry? Or is it maybe more from emotional hunger? Or when we start eating, we can start from hunger, but where do we stop? I mean, do you have the experience of stopping beyond full when you say, oh, I shouldn't have eaten so much? Or do you stop when you're a little bit hungry and you could have more, but you choose to stop?
Hmm.
I think that's an interesting thing, and I've seen a big difference, too. For those people that were brought up in the 50s and maybe even early 60s, think about how the dining room experience was for you. I suspect for most people, their activity was eating and maybe a discussion, but you did not have electronic gadgets around you, certainly not TV. We didn't even have cell phones to look at.
No.
So people were eating in a less distracted way than now. And when I see clients come in and I ask them about their eating habits, often they eat small at breakfast, if anything, or skip, a small lunch, and then they can't understand why they're starving by mid-afternoon. And then when evening starts, their evening meal, it just extends on for many people to the time they go to bed. And often it's in front of the TV or while reading a book or in front of the computer or whatever. And you cannot do two things 100% at the same time. And if you are being distracted, then you can't give full attention to the food. And you might miss the point where you are no longer hungry, but you're actually moving into fullness. And then oftentimes it's gone beyond and like, oh. You know, why did I eat this? If one was a little bit more mindful and kept checking in, where's my hunger fullness level, one might figure that out sooner. Or sometimes we just like the food and we know we're full, but it's so good we can't stop. Or from the Clean Plate Club, right?
Right, that's right.
I think about this too. Think about that first bite. Think of your favorite food. Everybody out there, think of your very favorite food. And think of how that tastes, that first bite. Right? That explodes in your mouth. And maybe even the second bite. But what happens by the fourth bite or so? Probably not as exciting as the first. Because your taste buds become habituated.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And part of this is saying, okay, we keep eating thinking we're going to get that huge wow kick, and we don't. But if you could stop, one way that's helpful is thinking, if I stop now, when I'm feeling satisfied but not too full, I get to have that wow all over again because I'll get to have that first bite again. That mm-hmm. particular food that I love will be available. Or sometimes we don't want to stop eating because we have to go to something onto something that we don't really want to do, like maybe back to work if it's your lunch hour, or maybe you have to clean the dishes. So again, another little tip is create a space after you've eaten of something that you actually enjoy doing, like reading a book or listening to music or something, even if it's 5 or 10 minutes, so you can leave the enjoyable eating experience behind and engage in something else that's equally as pleasurable. Hmm.
Why do you think dieting doesn't help in the long run?
Well, again, I think it's expectations. People come to me and they think they can lose, like the greatest loser, maybe 2-3 pounds a week. And that's not realistic. Half a pound, maybe a pound, and maybe you'll be doing the same thing for a couple weeks and you'll go on a plateau. And people get really discouraged.
Tell me about it.
You know? Why should I go to the gym? Why should I eat this way? I'm not even losing weight.
I go to the gym probably more for my heart than, you know, for the A flutter, because they tell me keep active and, you know, so on and so forth. So I do that. But
and that's a good reason. I would never really encourage people to go to the gym just to lose weight. Yes, you need to move your body, but don't think I'm going, and if I don't lose weight, I'm not going to the gym.
No, I don't go particularly for losing weight. I mean, I just keep myself active by doing that. It, you know, keep my body active. I'm not getting any younger, and, you know, I am retired. And, you know, so.
And how long have you been going to the gym?
Oh, 8 years.
See? It wasn't about weight loss. It was about something else. Feeling better, knowing this is good for my heart. And actually looking at it as a privilege. I have the opportunity to go.
Right.
Not everybody has that opportunity.
Yeah.
And, you know, what if I tell clients that don't want to walk, imagine, what if you were hit by some truck? And all of a sudden you became a quadriplegic. I bet you the first thing you're going to think about is, I'd give anything to walk. Why not walk? Why not move your body while you can?
We
know what's around the bend.
Right. It's interesting because, you know, there's certain machines. I've had both my knees replaced, and there's certain machines I can't use. But I ride the stationary bike, mm-hmm. and, you know, so I do that. And then I do with the other machines and stuff, you know, so. And I just, I feel good after I come out, you know. I have to force myself sometimes to go.
Right.
But I do go.
But once you're there.
But once I'm there, I'm fine. You know, it's just getting there, you know.
And how do you manage to get yourself there?
I just tell myself that I need the exercise and I have to keep my heart going, you know, if I want to keep breathing. And, you know, so that more or less is why I go, you know.
Right. And I think sometimes you ask why should you see a dietitian as well? People know how to eat for most part. There are some that don't. But for the most, so we also are coaches there. We're a coach to help you stay the course that you want to stay. And sometimes that's hard. And it's always great to have somebody walk alongside you and encourage you and not be judgmental about it and help you not be so judgmental yourself mm-hmm. about it, because when you judge yourself and you come up short, and people come to me and say, I was bad this week, I'm like, no, eating is not a moral thing. It's not bad or good.
Right.
It's just you made choices that didn't help you with your long-term goal. So because if you see your choices bad, then that becomes I am bad, and when I am bad, that makes me feel bad, and what makes me feel better? Eat.
Yeah, right, right, pretty much, yes.
Yeah. You know. So, you know, that's self-sabotaging right there.
Let me ask you see on television all these Nutris systems and this one and Oprah Winfrey doing her thing about what her thing, and then there's others. Do they really work?
Well, yes, Nutrisystem does work. And you know why it works? Because it's giving you a defined amount of calories. And it's a consistent, defined amount, whether it be 1,000, 1,200, 1,500, and you're eating the same thing. And that's the whole principle of weight loss, is somehow your expenditure has to be greater than your intake. So that's why we do a combination of exercise and cutting back. So, yeah, they do work. But often when people go off of it, they don't keep that same caloric amount up.
Right.
Why? Because it takes time to prepare, and we think about food as only being fun and social and not work. So that's what I often try to do. I try to, when people come to see me or the other dietitians, it is as if you're getting a whole bunch of tools in a toolbox. And we start throwing them out one at a time on the table. And you pick up the ones that work for you, and the ones that don't work for you right then, just take them in the toolbox. Maybe somewhere down the line it will. So some people find it very valuable to think about managing their weight as another job. Now they're a part-time job. You say you're retired? I would submit to you, if you wanted to really be serious about weight loss, to think about it. Ha! I have another part-time job. And because you are retired, I assume that you worked before. So I would imagine, if you're like everybody else, that there were days you might have preferred to do something else rather than go to work.
Most, yeah.
Right. But somehow we show up. Why? People depend on us. They count on us. Our absence would be missed. And number two, if we didn't show up for a number of times, we probably would no longer be employed there, and we would miss the paycheck. Because
yeah,
we need that. So they need us. We need them.
And, you know,
right?
Exactly. And with four kids, you know, you need the paycheck.
So you have wonderful skills, or anybody that's worked has amazing skills for doing things they don't want to do. Translate that into the same thing. Think of your weight management as another part-time job, and you can do it because you have all those skills. Whatever worked for you. I also tell people that our parents, or even now that I am a grandparent twice this year, this is exciting, we will, as a parent, we often do things for our children and now grandchildren that we might not do for ourselves. But, you know, so think about your going to the gym or you eating differently as role modeling for your children and grandchildren, the way to live. This is a healthy way of doing it. And I look at it this way. My oldest grandchild is now 10 months old, and the second grandchild is a month old, right? So I know for sure I am not going to be around when they are my age. I'm not going to be into my hundreds, that's for sure. But I have prediabetes. I counsel my clients, and I try to eat the same way. I'm not 100% perfect. I know that. But one thing I do is love ice cream. And I eat ice cream. I take a half a cup. People laugh at me because it's a very small amount. But I put it in an espresso cup or a gelato cup or something small, and I have Demitasse spoons. But you could do it with a taster spoon, and I eat it with this little spoon. So that I get many, many hits on my mouth, on my tongue.
Right.
Because your taste buds are right in the front. So I call that, like, you know, how little girls like princesses and fairies and things like that. It's like they call it my fairy eating. My grandkids are going to grow up seeing me like that, and they're going to laugh. But someday they might get diagnosed with prediabetes. And then they can think, I'm about the age my grandmother was, and this is how she ate. Because I remember my grandparents who are no longer around. I remember my parents who are no longer around. And I'm thinking, it might be morbid, but I'm thinking I'm sort of parenting beyond the grave. Your actions speak louder than your words to your children and your grandchildren and to yourself and to your peers.
And my youngest granddaughter is 21.
Yeah. So anytime you
and my oldest is 27. So.
You make a change, though, they'll notice. Yeah. Hey, Grandpa did something different. Grandpa lost a couple pounds. Grandpa never used to walk. Grandpa's walking now.
Yeah. It makes See, I can walk if it's level.
Right.
Because my knees have been replaced. We live in a country. And my wife walks. She doesn't belong to the gym. So she walks around a block. Well, that's almost 3 miles.
That's a lot.
And it's up and down and up and down. I went with her one time. I barely could make it home. I barely made it to the chair when I got in the house.
Right.
And so that week I had went to see the doctor, and I said to him, he says, well, you're walking on unlevel ground.
Mm-hmm.
Walk on level ground, and you can walk 3 miles. It's not a problem. He says, but if you're going up and down and up and down, it's not good for the legs and not good for the knees. He says, so walk level. I find that if I walk level, I'm fine. But up and down, no way.
Yeah.
You know?
You have to look at the same thing with dieting or not dieting, but eating differently. You have to look at what works for your body. And that's what a dietitian can do, is personalize for your physical, for whatever physical challenge you might have, or you might have certain dietary preferences. We're not going to ask you to eat anything that you hate. You know, we don't want to do that. We want to work around your preferences and see how that can work in. It's easier, you know, you ask about diets. People love to live in extremes, all or nothing. All or nothing. I either don't eat white or I eat everything white, or no pasta or pasta beyond. That middle road, like everything in life, is the most difficult. And that's why you need a lot of encouragement along the way. But it can be done. It doesn't have to be done perfectly, but as best you can. You know?
Well, when I lost, I had to have my knees replaced. I lost 120 pounds.
Wow!
Before they did them, you know, because he said, you know, if you don't lose weight, it's you're going to ruin the knees right away.
Yeah.
You know, so. I did, and I kept most of it off.
Mm-hmm.
But now I go to this up, you know, down 3 pounds, up 2 pounds, right. Down, you know, up, you know, fluctuating all the time, you know. And it just drives me crazy, you know, because it'll go up like 3 pounds. And I got, what? I didn't do anything different, and it went up 3 pounds, you know.
But 3 pounds, more or less, that's not 30 pounds up or down.
No,
it's,
no.
You know,
but it's just, you know, enough to, you know, because I'd still like to lose about another 10 or 15 pounds. And I go, oh, gee, I lost, you know, 3 pounds. Okay, and the next day I'm back up to 4. You know, I mean, come on, really? You know, but
if you can stay within a range, sort of a healthy range, I think that's a lot more realistic than focusing on the numbers. There are lots of people that focus on numbers, and that's not necessarily the best thing to do.
Yeah. Well, when you have a lifestyle change, how does that affect long-term weight loss or managing weight loss, or does it affect it?
Yeah, it does. I mean, but that's why I said it's being as consistent as possible. It's like, you know, you go away, people are on or off diets. I've seen people, oh, I did this until I went on vacation and then I dropped off, whatever. Well,
yeah.
If you went on vacation and you forgot your toothbrush, and would you say, I haven't brushed my teeth for 3 days, so I'm not going to brush my teeth for the rest of my life? No, you get back and do it. And the same thing with it, and I don't like thinking of it as a diet, because the first three letters are die, and that's how it feels. It is more of an eating plan. I would like people to follow a plan that works for them, that becomes part of who they are.
Okay.
And thinking, I wonder how little I can eat and be satisfied. How little will it take to satisfy me? Not like, oh, poor me, I can't have. So it's a game. And you'd be surprised if you're really paying attention. It's really sad how little you really need to feel satisfied versus stuffed. That would be a very interesting experience for everybody to think about doing. Rate your hunger. 0, starving. 10, so full beyond Thanksgiving full. That feels horrible. Starving feels horrible. It's like a pendulum. You go from feeling horribly starved to horribly full. Trying to think about making your arc less intense, sort of hovering around 5, being neutral, not hungry, not full. Can I eat when I'm just a little bit hungry, and then recognize when I'm feeling satisfied and stop just around when I'm feeling satisfied mm-hmm. and not too full. And that can be sort of a fun game to do. And it does work. I've seen people that have done that.
And it works.
It does. Yeah. But not being harsh on yourself. And also the saying when you lose or you regain 3 pounds and saying again, oh, my gosh, I'm getting so upset and judgmental. Say, isn't that interesting? I wonder why that came back. Was it because I had too much salt? Was I decided I wasn't going to walk as much for the last 5 days? Did I indulge in more goodies? Huh, isn't that interesting? I wonder what that's all about. Oh, is it because I was eating emotionally? You know, every time I talk, for example, every time I talk with this person, I wind up eating a whole lot of food at night, you know?
That happens, though, you know.
And that does happen. It's true. It's a balance kind of a thing. You know. We don't always eat for our physical hunger. We often eat for emotional hunger. And that can go forever.
You get frustrated with somebody, and you know.
So, you know what? An idea can be just to say, hey, boy, I just feel like eating everything in sight. I wonder what happened today. Oh, yeah, I had this conversation. Then you can write, what was I feeling? I thought I was hungry, but I just finished a meal. Was it really physical hunger? Was I shaky? Was I dizzy? No. Oh, I was really feeling angry. I was really feeling sad. And then what other behaviors can I do when I'm angry, when I'm sad? Sounds like maybe this might have been your mental health kind of thing.
Yeah, right.
But there's a lot. We are often conditioned to use food to solve any kind of discomfort, whether it be a physical discomfort, oh, honey, you fell down and skinned your knee, have a lollipop, or a psychological one. You know, I'm a person's going through a divorce, or they have a loved one that is in bad physical mm-hmm. shape, or somebody just died. You know, we eat as a comfort. Eating is not just about physically feeding our body, but at least recognize that's why I'm doing it. It's not because I'm hungry. What else can I do that would feed the hunger that I have, which is really more of an emotional hunger?
Right.
Because food will never fix that.
And like you, I like ice cream. And I also like chocolate, dark chocolate.
Yeah, you know? Me too.
And, you know, but with the chocolate, I can limit myself, you know. And I may not use it every day. You know, it's in the closet and it's away, okay. You know. But
ice cream?
But ice cream is...
How do you eat it? Are you in front of the TV?
In a cone.
Yeah. Are you in front of the TV?
Usually, yeah.
Do you eat it not watching TV, not reading a book, not fiddling with your phone or computer? Have you ever done that? I'm going to challenge everybody. Do that tonight. I want the ice cream. I'm going to measure out about a half a cup because our center is Center for Nutrition and Diabetes Management, so that would be 15 grams of carb. It's a carb choice. What would happen if you used a smaller spoon, you did nothing but enjoy that ice cream and taste every little spoonful? I just wonder if you would how much or how little it would take to satisfy those taste buds. It's something different.
I'll have to try it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You'll never know.
No.
You never know until
you try
it.
And it's crazy commitment. Because, like with chocolate, I can limit myself. Mm-hmm.
You can have just one piece.
Right.
And let it
or
go.
Two at the tops, you know, and that's it, you know, and then let it go. You know, then I may not have it for 2 days, you know.
And you do that watching TV and stuff too? Or is it maybe not doing
maybe
that?
Not, no.
Maybe you're not doing anything else but having that and enjoying it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But
often those things, it's like Pavlov's dog. You know that whole thing of Pavlov's dog? So what happens with all electronic devices is you flip them on or even getting in the car, and all of a sudden you start salivating because you have paired. It's a paired association. It's a learned behavior. Anything that's learned can be unlearned, often with great difficulty, or it's not easy, but
right.
It can be unlearned.
Right.
And after 30, 50 times of doing it, it's a new way of thinking.
What are some important lifestyle changes for people to make?
Well, as you said, moving your body. We call it diet and exercise. That sounds awful. It's almost like four-letter words. I'd call it having the opportunity to move my body and having the opportunity to eat with attention and intention, or intention and attention. Intention with the intention of feeling better after you've eaten than before you ate. And the attention that we are talking about is paying attention to your food. How does it taste in your mouth? What's the mouth? What's the texture of your food? Is it something, I want food. Do I want something hot or cold? Do I want something crunchy? Do I want something smooth? Now, how many people that have been alone in the house and just feel like eating something stand between the refrigerator and their cupboard and they just start going through things and tasting things until they finally hit on what they want? How interesting it would be is to try on flavors, because you know what the flavor of different things are, like you would a dress or a shirt or something to see how it looks. Is that what I really want right now? Do I want something sweet? That's not what I want. I want something crunchy. Yeah, maybe something. Do I want it salty? No. And then narrow it down before. And then a small amount. So small amounts are really important rather than eating right from a package, like ice cream. People can just take the whole half gallon, which isn't a half gallon anymore, by the way, as we all know, and eat with a spoon. You put a small amount, close the door, out of sight, and then small amounts. So, yeah, I think those lifestyle changes, and also, again, non-judgmental with that, because the judgment part, that is a real self-sabotage.
Yeah.
It really is.
When people make these changes, other than weight loss, what's some of the benefits?
You know what? That's a good question. And actually, you know who knows that? It's the person that is trying to change their behavior. And that, again, is what I will often ask people when they come in my office. Okay, rate. I can ask that of you, may I?
Sure.
So you're going to the gym. So I would ask you, on a scale of 0 to 10, philosophically, how important is it for you to take care of your health? 10 being the most important, 0 being not of any importance at all. Not doing it, but just thinking about it. How important is your health?
Probably about a 7 or 8.
7 or 8. Okay. So where would you rank yourself in terms of actually the confidence that you will be able to follow through with some of, like it'd be in my session, of some of these things we talked about, for you going to the gym on a regular basis, maybe trying to eat that half a cup of ice cream, where would you place yourself? 0, no confidence, no, I'm not going to do it, or no desire to do it. 10, high confidence I can do it, or high desire to do it. Where would you place yourself?
Truthfully? Yeah, probably truthfully. Around 4.
Okay, 4. And why did you say a 4 and not a 3?
Probably because I know I should do it, but no.
Why should?
Because I would be healthy.
Because you'd be healthy.
And, you would probably,
You. I want to know what you would be more healthy.
I would be more healthy. And, my body would be better.
Your body would be better.
And, but I know me. I would probably not, I would commit to it and do it only for a short period of time.
Okay, so that gives a real good indication how important that is. I will often see if the higher person is up on the scale of actually thinking of doing it, the more likelihood they would, which means for you, it is not surprising why you keep falling, as you would say, falling off the diets, because it's not as high a priority for you as something else in your life. And that's not a bad thing, because you ask me, what are the benefits? It's the individual person. I can enumerate all the benefits from a scientific standpoint.
Right.
But that's not going to be your passion. You will only do something. We only do something if it's important enough for us to do it, that we're going to spend the time and the commitment even when times are rough. You wound up going to work every day because that was a really high commitment for you, I suspect.
Especially when it was in Jamaica, Queens, and I lived in Union Township. 2 exits past Kennedy Airport every day.
Which wasn't fun, but you still did it. That wasn't easy. But you had a high commitment because you said you had 4 kids.
Yep.
So there
and a mortgage
reasons.
And car payments and
exactly.
everything else.
So that makes sense. That would probably be one of your number one things. Not everything can be number one. And that doesn't mean things can't juggle around. Maybe when someone is retired, things shift around a little bit. Or as we grow older, our choices and our values change.
Mm-hmm.
you know, because we're not the same people.
No. Nope.
So the one that knows best about what benefits it will give is the person seeking the change. It'd be arrogant for me to tell you, except from a scientific standpoint.
Right, right.
You know, your heart and your, you know, all that things.
Do you have any tips to help people stick, if they set a goal, to stick to that goal?
I think
someone comes into your office.
Yeah.
Me, for example. Right. I come into your office, and I want to eat more healthy. I want to lose weight, you know, et cetera, blah, blah, blah. And you set up a plan.
I think those things I said before, actually, the value, because mm-hmm. that will help you. It will help you to see that if you rate yourself a 4, which is, I mean, yeah, 4, which is not a 3, so at least you know that you're going to feel better and you know your body's going to be better. At least you have spoken aloud 2 reasons why you want to do that. That would be sort of a value clarification for you. And also tips on how to stick with it. It depends a lot on your commitment. I mean, I can give you all the information in the world, but it.
Right.
But for you, the most important thing is how I'm going to apply it to my life and how important is it that I apply to my life. And maybe I recognize, I may think it's really important to recognize, like, as much as I want it, I have too much going on in my life right now, and I can't make everything number one in my life. Doesn't mean I won't be there. And maybe my goal now is for a person to say, not to gain any more weight. And so what do I have to do? It'll be a minimal amount, but maybe I can't expect
right.
to lose weight.
Right.
You know? And it depends on how much you're willing to
commit to it.
Commit and make changes in your life. As we get older, sometimes it's harder to do unless there's a really good reason to do it.
Right.
Like if you know that by gaining an extra 10 pounds, you're going to decrease your life expectancy by, I don't know, whatever it is, you might do it, especially if it's something really imminent,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm. Do you have a, I've been diagnosed pre-diabetic for the last 20 years.
Right.
And I'm on medication for it.
Mm-hmm.
And, but I don't take, you know.
No, pills. You're probably taking an oral agent, some kind of pill.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so when you have someone that comes in that is like that, is there a special program that you?
Yeah, I'm really happy you said that because I have things out in front of me, and I do want to mention that before we do end. We have a program for prediabetes. I am actually the one that teaches that.
Okay.
I have classes for prediabetes the third Thursday of the month from 9:30 till 11:30. I have a flyer, which I'll leave with you. It's $70. I will say this is a really interesting thing. Prediabetes is the precursor. It's before diabetes. You have a 57% risk reduction of moving towards diabetes if you start moving your body at least 5 times a week for 30 minutes and losing weight if your BMI is over 30. So, interestingly enough, 50% of the people 65 and over have prediabetes. Unfortunately, only 1 in 10 know they have it. Another quarter of the population over 65 has diabetes. So that's 3/4 of the population has something going on with their pancreas. But the real crime is that Medicare will pay if you have diabetes. They'll pay for you. And that's not a crime. That's a good thing. You can come and see a dietitian after the first year of diagnosis for 3 hours in a 12-month span of time, and you can see a nurse for 10 hours. And we actually have classes that the nurse teaches, 3 2-hour classes all back-to-back. We have morning classes. We have evening classes each month. Medicare picks that up 100% after they've met your deductible
right.
for the dietitian, right. 20% for the nurse. But it is well worth it. It's like having a car and not reading the manual. So
mm-hmm.
that's really important. For prediabetes, where half the population has prediabetes, Medicare does not cover that.
I know.
Right. So that is something, got to write the congressman about that. But we do have the classes for $70. And I will say, at least up until this year, many more insurance companies have been covering one-on-one sessions with us, so we
mm-hmm.
see that. We also have something else that I want to quick pop in.
Okay.
It is something that my colleague, Velta, who has been here, I guess, many times, teaches along with some of the other dietitians, and that is a new program called Low Carb Life. And that program runs on a monthly basis. We do some in the afternoons and some in the evenings, four sessions for $99. So that's a really good thing. It's a very low-carb diet. We don't recommend that for long periods of time. But they talk about carbs. Some people just like to get a jump start. That is a diet. Mm-hmm. But, again, I don't believe in diets for long term. But some people just like to see some weight loss instead of a half a pound or a pound. You might lose a pound or so for a few weeks, maybe 2 pounds, even more. And then they show you how to gradually increase the carbs. But just be more aware of it. So we have those three programs, the low-carb life class, we have the pre-diabetes class, and then we have the classes that the nurses teach. Plus, many one-on-ones. If you are thinking about bariatric surgery, Velta is the sort of specialist there.
Right.
If you have GI issues, we have another dietitian named Kathy who often does that. And if you're interested in sports nutrition, we have another expert, Michelle, that works on that. It's not that the other dietitians can't do it, but these dietitians are particularly gifted in those areas and have done some extra learning.
If someone wanted to reach out to you, how would they do that?
So they would call our number, 908-237-6920, or they could reach us online. You could go to over here, www.hmcdiabetes.org, or just go to the Hunterton Medical Center and click on the little link for Center for Nutrition Diabetes Management. You can see all of our pictures there online, little statements that we've made, and that'd be a good way to acquaint yourself with us before. We're open Monday through Friday. We have at least, we usually have one Saturday morning a month that we're there as well. I often stay late at night, so I can still see people 6 o'clock, sometimes even 7 o'clock at night. So it could be, you could figure you can get an appointment somewhere between 8 and 7 Monday through Friday.
Well, I can't tell you how interesting this has been. I really appreciate your coming, taking the time and coming over. It's just been, like I said, it's just been very enlightening.
Good.
And I would love to get that pre-diabetes folder, you know. And thank you so much again.
Okay.
I really appreciate it. And, you know, get home safe in the weather. You know,
weather's bad.
Well, at least it's not the S word, so that's makes it better. You've been listening to the Hunterton Medical Center Show, and my name's Larry Cartwright, and I'm the host, and we will be back again, same time, same station, next week. Have a good week, and stick to your diet if you're on it.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterton is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterton at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterton, the voice for mental health in Hunterton County.
Hunterton Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterton Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterton Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
We take in things free, and yet if you want to take a plant or you want to do something, you want to sell something into China and other countries, it's very, very hard.
President Donald Trump meeting with various business leaders talking about the importance of true free trade for the United States and how the United States has to deal with countries that put restrictive tariffs on American goods. He also had a warning for the business leaders about taking jobs away from Americans.
A company that wants to fire all of its people in the United States